Well, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about something very practical. It's called attitude. You're like, ugh, Debbie. Don't get up and run out the door. My first question to you would be, though, what's your attitude today? What's your attitude today? The definition of attitude, when saw your notes, and I would encourage you to grab your notes and maybe set them on your lap and look at them. Maybe not just look at them, maybe get a pen out, and God's going to maybe speak to your heart about your attitude. Like, this does not sound fun, Debbie. Attitude is the mental position you choose to take towards life, circumstances, and people. This is an area of my life personally that I have had to work on. And I don't know if I brought my book in here. Did I? I don't think I did. I think I left it in the car. But in chapter 9, which is the chapter I wrote about attitude in the book, I tell a story about one of the many times that I have had to confront my own bad attitude. It wasn't anything big. I just let something that John said irritate me. Because I knew that I was right and he was wrong and he would not see it my way. Ever been there? Chapter 9. Chapter 9. Have you ever been there? It doesn't have to be a husband. It can be a friend. You're like, who does she think she is? So I'm gonna read this because I'll do it better. This was not good, I said. I could feel the inside of me starting to boil and my face getting hot. And it wasn't even a hot day. It was actually a very cold day in the middle of January. So it wasn't the temperature that was causing me to overheat, and it wasn't a hot flash. So I couldn't blame it on a fever because I was feeling fine. No, the heat I was feeling was not related to my physical well-being. It was connected to my heart and soul. The embarrassing truth is that John had said something that I didn't agree with, and I'd made the decision to dwell on the thoughts I shouldn't have. Now I had an attitude of the wrong kind. It wasn't even caused by a big issue or a yelling fight, or should I say disagreement. In all honesty, I don't even remember what it was about, why I was frustrated. It was only last month. So it was a month past when I wrote it, and I couldn't remember. Isn't that just crazy? Isn't it like us girls? Ugh, it's ridiculous. But I do have a problem. It's called prideful, selfish thinking. I like to be right, and I like to win. Anybody out there? Like all of us? So does John. Who said opposites attract? Was not at our wedding. It happened quickly. In about 5 seconds, I allowed the thoughts of I am right to transform into negative emotions. And I went from being very happy to being very angry because my personality is fairly upbeat and happy. But when I start thinking selfishly, it changes. I made the decision to have a bad attitude, and the only thing that was going to change it was if and when John came to his senses and decided that I was right. He never did. So I had to change my attitude. You know, divorce doesn't happen overnight. It happens when selfishness starts to grow and the I am right and you're wrong starts to build on one another. Build, 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 build until you can't stand him and he's horrible. Now, I'm not talking about physical abuse. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how all of us, if we're not careful, can allow attitudes to fester in us and become like a bad apple and destroy relationships with our children, with our parents, with our husbands, with friends. So attitude is so important. It is like, it affects absolutely everything in your day, in your relationships, or your relationship with God. And I was thinking, faith and attitude are so connected. But you can have faith and have a bad attitude. You can believe in Jesus and still have a bad attitude. So you have to act on your faith. And really, it is faith to say, God, I don't need them to think exactly like me, because I have you. And your love flowing through me allows me to allow them to view something differently from me. Like, that's so hard. So if you wrote on the back, I would put faith. And then you remember that sign in, I don't know if it's algebra, but the bigger, lesser sign? What is that sign called? Greater, lesser, yeah. The greater part needs to be towards the faith part, and then the lesser part needs to be towards the feelings part. Or word. So this morning with Colossians 3, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. If you don't have your Bible, if you just have your cell phone, you can actually download YouVersion Bible, which is an awesome app, and pull up Colossians 3 on there. And the NLT version is where I'm going to be teaching from today. And I want to talk to you about four points that we really need to consider with regards to maintaining having a godly attitude, and why it's necessary. So the first point is, and I think the points are on your page, understand your position in Christ. I am so excited about these first two points because they so connect to what we're hearing in Romans on Sunday. And I want to welcome, I met a few people that are one or two girls that are from other churches today. We're so glad you're here. Thank you for being a part. We're all in this together. We pray that your time with us, just God uses it to strengthen the sisterhood that you're a part of in your church. But if you would like to listen to the Romans series that I'm talking about right now, you can feel free to go on jamesriver.org, and it will help you find those messages. But the messages on Sunday have just been incredible. I'm so thankful for a pastor who happens to be my husband, who wants to be a good shepherd. The week before last, and I don't tell you this to brag on him. Yes, I do. Just a little. But I think just understanding the battle he's in to present the Word of God. He spent 40 hours studying for a week ago last Sunday's message, and it was a spiritual battle. The enemy hates the Word of God being taught because, as Romans says, faith comes by hearing the message of the gospel of Christ. And so there's a battle, but, oh, the depth of the truth of God's word that we're hearing right now. You need to invite people to come with you and be a part of all that's happening. But these first two points very clearly connect with the messages that we're hearing out of Romans. And understanding our position in Christ, in my opinion, is the foundation for walking in an attitude that has godly characteristics attached to it. So look at these verses in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. And if you have your Bible, I would underline them and go back to them. So since you have been raised to new life with Christ, we're hearing a lot about new life, right? The old life is what? What else is it? Dead. Dead and buried and gone. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Since your old life is dead, you're walking in newness of life, set your sights so it doesn't happen automatically that you're thinking about heaven. You have to choose to. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life. Your citizenship is now in heaven. You think differently than you used to. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. This writer, Paul, he isn't just saying this, he lived it. Savannah shared a story in November when she taught about Paul and Silas. Do you remember them? They were like buddies sharing the gospel. And it tells a story in the book of Acts, chapter 16, I think. You should go read it this week because it really very much speaks to our attitude and how Paul exemplified an attitude of Christ. So they were teaching the gospel. That's all they were doing. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't steal anything. They didn't destroy property. All they did was share their faith. And the authorities arrested them, beat them till they were bloody, on their feet, on their backs. And then they threw them into the darkest, dirtiest, deepest cell in the prison. Do you know what they did? Fast forward. I don't know how quickly it started. I don't know if they were just sitting there. Maybe they, just being human, were struggling a little bit with their attitude. Can you believe that this is happening? You know, we were just trying to share Jesus. Why would God do this? But somewhere in the middle of whatever conversation they had. And I don't believe they just were thrown down there and all of a sudden started singing Kumbaya together at the same time. I don't think that happened. One of them said, let's sing. Let's sing. Let's praise the Lord because our citizenship is in heaven. And we walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Our circumstances don't dictate our attitude. Our position in Christ dictates our attitude. So one of them started singing, and then the other joined in. Amazing. And if you read that story, which I'm not going to read it all to you, I would love to because I love stories in the Word of God, but out of their worship, the guard that probably beat them got saved. They were set free, and the guard's family came to Jesus. Incredible. Attitude absolutely affects everything. Look at Romans 15, 13 with me. If it's not in your notes, you might write it, or on that note page, you might write it down so you can go back to it. And it says this, and this is Paul again. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will fill you completely with joy. Okay? Joy, a right attitude, understanding your position in Christ, and peace because you what? Trust in Him. There, it shows again, our attitude is connected to our faith. Trust and faith, it can be interchangeable in Scripture. You have joy and peace because you choose to trust in God, because you choose to believe in the position you have in Christ Jesus. You choose to think about good things. 2 Corinthians 4:17, and they won't show this on the screen, so you can just write it down, but Paul says, for our momentary and light distress, light distress, girls, beaten, accused of things he didn't do, and he calls it light distress. We get worked up when we're in the Starbucks line and they give us the wrong drink. Light distress is producing us an eternal reward. Paul goes on to say in 15:13, if they could bring it back up on the screen, and thank you to the guys hidden behind the stage that are doing this. Yes. They serve quietly, but they make a huge difference. Okay, Romans 15, 13. Then, it says, then when you trust in God and understand your position in Christ, I added that, you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That hope helps you sustain an attitude of faith in the middle of any difficulty. Amen? Number two, commit to living like new. So if you go back to point one and you want to make it simpler, you could just put stand in position. And then on this one, I was thinking, like, what could be just a cute way to remember this? Well, live new. Just live new. Live new. Don't live old. Phyllis, 87 years old, she's living new. Isn't that cool? So cool. Live new. Back to Colossians 3, 5. This is so clear, girls. It's like John would say, it's not rocket science. Everybody can understand this. Verse 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with them. Verse 7, you used to do these things. What things? Sinful things. So in this instance, we're talking about attitude, okay? You used to care more about yourself than others. You used to do things when your life was still a part of this world. Do these things, but now get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, nasty, selfish language. Anything that's sinful is dirty. Anything that's selfish is like yucky to look at. Stop it before it comes out. In a minute, we're going to talk about it affects your testimony. It affects the atmosphere. It affects the sisterhood around you. It affects your children. It affects your home. It affects the workplace. It affects this room. But you have to choose to kill it. It's not going to go away on its own. Put on your new nature, your new self, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You'll be happier too. Romans 6, 4. We've just talked about this on Sunday. Our old life died and was buried with Christ. Now we live new lives. Dying to self-centered thinking is hard. I would love to tell you it's easy, but you have to choose to work on it. You have to choose. It's like John said, to live in this new life, you have to remind yourself over and over again, I am a new creation. I don't act like that anymore. I am going to act like Christ Jesus did and does. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, giving you lots of scripture. You need to talk about this in your life groups. You need to talk about this with your sisterhood because it's foundational to so many things, one of which I'm passionate about is unity. It's foundational to unity. Ephesians 4, 21 to 24, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted. Look, that sounds awful. Corrupted and corroded by lust and deception. And instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That brings us to the next point. Put on. Choose to dress well. So to the side, dress right. Live new, dress right. Back to Colossians 3. Since God chose you, to be a holy people that he loves, if you want to, you could clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, if you want to. No. What does it say? You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's look at those words really quick, okay? Tender-hearted. Turn your page over because you're going to write this out. I'm kind of bossy right now. You must turn your paper over. Okay, tender-hearted. What does that mean? What's tender-hearted? Biblical definition: compassionate, delicate, soft heart. You can be strong in the faith and have a tender heart, and that's exactly what you should have. A soft heart that hurts when others are hurting. Kind. This actually builds on tender-hearted. It's compassion combined with generosity. Isn't that beautiful? Compassion combined with generosity. A giving spirit. Okay, I'll let you be right even though I know you're not. Okay, sometimes, do you know what? Sometimes you do know you're right. So what? Honestly, so what? Sometimes you're wrong. So a generous spirit, it's not like you get out a $100 bill everywhere you're at and give it away. It's honoring others. It's being generous to them with your kindness and your compassion. Okay, humble. Bible definition: not demanding, not self-focused, putting yourself on a lower level so you can raise others up. Look at Philippians 2. This is honestly one of my favorite portions in the gospel. And I would highly, highly recommend you memorize this portion of scripture. It will help you with every relationship you have that you struggle with. Anybody ever struggled with a relationship before? Just me? Oh, good. There's two of us. Yeah, three. I see that hand. Okay. Here's what Paul says. Make my joy truly happy. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. How do you agree with somebody that's looking at it different from you? You lay yourself down. You say, okay, this really doesn't matter. And you know, there's a verse in, I think it's 1 Peter, where it's talking about Sarah. And this is another verse that really helped me in my marriage. And it says, Sarah won Abraham over. So she convinced Abraham of her, what she was thinking. How did she do it? Without saying anything. That's what the scripture says. We always think we have to talk to convince somebody of our view. What about if you really feel the Holy Spirit has led you to believe in and stand on your view? What about praying and just being quiet and trusting the Lord to do a work in that person? Way more powerful than our words. So truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Oh my goodness, it's a choice. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Be humble. Be humble. Thinking of that other person that's you're struggling with as better than yourself. Don't look only to your own interests. So it's not saying, don't just, I mean, God's not saying just be a doormat to be stomped on. It's saying humble yourself to think of others better than yourselves. That doesn't mean you still don't have, at times, conversation. It's not what it's saying, just to be quiet all the time, but you know when the Holy Spirit's telling you to shut up. Sorry, Mom. I wasn't allowed to say that when I was little. Okay. But take an interest in others, too. You must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And you know what it goes on to say? Who became, he was God, and he humbled himself to death on the cross. And that's the example it's using for us. Have any of us died for somebody? No. And what he's saying there is, just lay your selfishness down for somebody. We can do that, girls. Humble, gentle, meek, not weak. Okay, that's what the scripture definition is, to be meek, not harsh, but strong in your faith. Okay, patient. Oh, I think this is one of the hardest ones. Calm endurance with thankfulness. Calm endurance with thankfulness. You know how that plays out when you're in a line at Walmart and it's going slow for whatever reason, and you're like, ugh. Being calm in your spirit. How do you stay calm? You understand your position in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you think of the other person in front of you as better than yourself. Maybe God has the line moving slow so that you'll stop and consider how you can bless them. Hey, verse 13. Colossians 3, make allowances for others' faults. Oh, my goodness, right after the Walmart illustration. And forgive anyone who offends you. Conviction in this room. Okay, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Girls, clothe yourself with a dress that doesn't get easily offended. If you've been offended by somebody because they didn't look at you right, or they didn't invite you to a party, or you know what? You need to give it up. You really do. Because it's going to get ugly for your spirit. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Doesn't that sound a lot better? So much better. The last piece of clothing is the attitude of love. That's how it's like the coat that goes over everything. It's like a mink coat. I don't have a mink coat, literally, but I have a mink coat of love that I want to wear everywhere I go. Romans 12:2 in the Amplified Classic Edition. Some of you may need to change your clothes today. You know, I'll just say, I know some of you do. And the only person that can change your clothes is you. Do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. You know, there's a lot of sarcasm out there. It's all about self. And if you're watching a lot of TV, which you probably shouldn't, because there's not much on there that is uplifting to our spirits and beneficial to the atmosphere in our homes, we need to change it that habit, be transformed, be changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So good. I'm not perfect, girls. I have to check my attitude at times still. And probably until I get to heaven, I'll have to. But I check it quicker now than I did when I was 20. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah. And John says, hallelujah. Your attitude, number four, your attitude affects others. So live new, dress right, shine bright. Isn't that cool? I just made that up when I walked in here. So proud of myself. So your attitude affects others. Verse 15, Colossians 3, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, we're all in this together. That's what that statement means. As members of one body, you were called to live in peace. A self-centered attitude honestly brings disunity. And God, honestly, girls, we don't have time for that. We've got a big job to do. God is opening doors for us as never before in this community and beyond. Now in Joplin, we need to be unified. We need our relationships right. We need our spirits and our attitudes conformed to the heart and mind of God so that the world looks at us and says, oh my goodness, she's so different. I want to be a part of that. And that's the message that we want to present to one another. And honestly, if you have a struggle with a girl in the body of Christ that you're a part of, you need to go make it right. That doesn't mean you necessarily will be best buds. You don't have to be best buds with everybody. But you have to love everybody and honor them. Okay? But our attitude affects our message. Our attitude affects our testimony. Our attitude affects how people view Jesus. If you say, I'm a Christian, but you stink everywhere you go, why would they want to be one? So look at this, verse 16. And the worship team, look at you. You're so fast and discerning. Okay, verse 16. Let the message about Christ in all of its riches, is all of its richness, fill your lives. Look at this. It's so clear. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. You can be wise in your conversation. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Paul and Silas, be like Paul and Silas. We're in the slow line at Starbucks when your husband is not agreeing with you. If you have to go in the bathroom and shut the door and sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. 10 times. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Verse 17. And whatever you do and say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Not part, but whole. Every part of your life, represent Jesus with grace, giving thanks through him to God our Father. That means you guard your words. You stop and you count to 10 before you say something. Say, God, is this in line with my new self? Is this in line? Is this a piece of clothing I need to take off right now? Okay, Proverbs 25:11 and Proverbs 18:21. Just write those down. You can go look at them, about our words and how they affect things. As we close, I want to close with this verse, and you can stand. I'm going to go back to Romans 15:13. You can stand with me. This is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for the sisterhood, the Design Sisterhood, and my prayer for the girls that are here from other churches. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill your new life completely with joy and peace. Chapter 11 in the book is all about peace, and it's completely connected to our attitude and our new life. How? Because you trust completely in Jesus Christ. You rest in Him. My life is now hidden in Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. These temporary and momentary trials are there to teach me and grow me and show me how to die to self and live in my new life. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.